drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
The CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky alongside Mike Gilligan. And boy, do we have some stuff going on down in Ponte Vedra right now with the Players' Championship. The quote-unquote fifth major taking place. We've got players withdrawing. We're not even through round two. Usually we're through round two by the time we get to Saturday, Mike. But that it has been difficult finishing some rounds out there. So unfortunately, we do not have a quote-unquote updated leaderboard through two rounds. We don't know exactly who is the cutting field right now, but we do know that there is some fantastic golf being played down in Florida right now.
Absolutely. And to be honest with you, in one word to sum it up is absolute chaos. Chaos with the weather, with the pace of play, and really with the leaderboard for that matter.
Yeah.
And, you know, chaos started, I think, when Mr. Rahm woke up yesterday morning and had a tummy ache.
Yeah, so we'll get to the leaderboard in just a second, but you alluded to it right there. The biggest story to come out of the players so far is that world number one, John Rahm, withdrew from the Players' Championship shortly before the start of the second round at Sawgrass on Friday because of a stomach illness. That of all according to the PGA Tour. He was one under through the first round on Thursday, and then, I mean, he was supposed to be in a pretty dynamic group for day two as well, paired alongside, or I guess trioed alongside Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler. That's sort of like, those are your three guys right now on the PGA Tour. You got Rahm, you got Rory, and then you got Scottie. Those are the three names that, if those names are there, everyone's got their eyes on it. Everyone is sort of fixated on that in the world of golf right now. And losing Rahm in one of your biggest events of the year, and not because of a cut either, is kind of a blow right now. And when we get to the leaderboard, you'll see why. But right now, it's an interesting start to the players right now.
Oh, it certainly is. And I think if you were to, you know, build your Mount Rushmore of 2023 and on the PGA Tour, you would certainly look to that featured group. But having Rahm pull out, I heard a collective groan throughout Golfland and all of the betting sheets and pools and fantasy golf games that are going on.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of people picked a Spaniard. And unfortunately, he was derailed by something that's out of his control.
Yeah.
And it's not often when Mr. Rahm can't control everything in his surroundings, but clearly he had enough of a stomach virus and a bug, because that guy is a warrior. We've seen it in Ryder Cup matches. We've seen it throughout his career. He's just an enjoyable guy to watch, and we're going to miss him this weekend for sure.
Yep. By the way, this segment is sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. You bring up the fantasy implications and the gambling and all that stuff. And I myself, I'm in a one and done pool. So you pick one golfer each week and then you collect their earnings money each week. And you can only use a golfer once. I thought about using John Rahm this week. I lucked out. It must be the St. Patrick's magic in the air right now. And by the way, someone else says they got pretty lucky this week. I do want to talk to you as well, Mike, about one of your luckiest golf shots, too. But I thought about going with Rahm this week because this is a high-purse tournament, and at least in comparison to a lot of the other ones that you go through along the PGA Tour. And I thought about Rahm and using him in a high-profile tournament like this one. I ultimately went with Patrick Cantlay. He is 2 under at the moment right now, but this is going to hurt a lot of people who either were betting, were playing the daily fantasy stuff, were in some of these pools and stuff like that. So not having John Rahm, obviously not a good thing for golf, and certainly, especially this year. I mean, because John Rahm, the tear that he is on right now, where he has logged top 10 after top 10 after top 10, along with some winners sprinkled in there as well. Losing him for one of your biggest tournaments early on is certainly a bummer for all golf fans.
And no question. You know, we tune in to watch the stars, and one of our stars was taken away, a guy that everybody's relating to. And I, for one, had John Rahm on my fantasy team, and it hurt. So I'll be watching just more of as a fan this weekend. But, you know, the last time John Rahm had an issue with any sort of illness, he was actually told he had it. He wasn't really feeling that bad when he was at the Memorial back in 2021. But then what happened after that? And it's almost like he's just been hot ever since. And so this could be a little wake-up call to the rest of the tour, that when John Rahm comes down with something and then comes back, he's actually better than ever. So, you know, Augusta's out there.
Right. It's right on the horizon. We're about a month out from Augusta now in the Masters tournament kicking off. But there is certainly plenty of intrigue. If you've got a thought right now on what's going on in the world of golf, 312-332-3776. We would love to hear from you. We're also, speaking of the Masters, Mike, we are going to be giving away, if you heard us last week, talk about how the Masters can bring the spread to you, right? They can bring a Masters dining experience to you. We're going to give away one of those experiences a little bit later on in the show, so be sure to be listening. We'll also talk with Teddy Greenstein from PointsBet a little bit later on as well, so keep it here on the CDGA Golf Show. Teddy coming up at 9 a.m. today. Looking forward to our first conversation of the year with Teddy. Always enjoy those chats, especially when you've got high-profile tournaments going on here as well. So here's where I kind of sit, and you bring up a fantastic point too, how last time we saw John Rahm kind of removed from a tournament because of illness, it was like the beginning of the tear that he went on after that. And you wonder, okay, is he going to take this and use it as fuel moving forward? And boy, would it be a nice time to start catching fire. Not that he hasn't already been on fire, but to continue to start catching a little bit more fire here as we head into the major season, which is not too far away.
Exactly. And, you know, you just don't know at Bay Hill, because all of a sudden it was like he got hit by a bus. I mean, he shot, you know, mid-70 scores, a 40 on the back nine. Was he battling something then, you know? And it finally basically caught up to him this week, because let's face it, these guys travel hundreds and thousands of miles and, you know, expose themselves to a lot of different people, a lot of different things. So at the same time, you know, maybe this is a great blessing in disguise for him. He'll go back, recollect himself, you know, get himself healthy, strong, ready to go. And he knows he can do it. He knows he can play at the highest level when it's time to do so. And I think he's going to be back, and I know he wants that green jacket. That is one that he has had in, you know, his crosshairs for quite some time, and I think he'll do whatever it takes to make sure he is in absolute tip-top shape, healthy, and hitting it as pure as the white-driven snow by the time he rolls down Magnolia Lane.
All right, so let's get you your leaderboard of what we've seen so far down at TPC Sawgrass. Adam Svensson is your leader through... Well, we're not even through two rounds, so I won't even say through two rounds, but through a round and change, I should say, almost two rounds through because of the delay yesterday and some weather difficulties down in Florida yesterday. So Adam Svensson, he is through his two rounds. He is 9-under right now, followed by Scottie Scheffler, who is actually just wrapped up his round. He is 7-under, two shots back of the leader. So there's your top two, Adam Svensson and Scottie Scheffler. After that, you got a four-way tie in third with Ben Griffin, Minwoo Lee, Christian. I'll let you pronounce the last name because I always butcher it.
Bizindehut.
Bizindehut. Colin Morikawa also there as well. They're all 6 under, 3 shots off the lead. All those guys, by the way, are through their 2 rounds. Then in a tie for 7th, you've got Cam Davis. You've got the bell of the ball from the opening round with Chad Ramey as well after he logged a 64 round 1, but struggled a little bit. He's through 17. He's got 1 to go in his second round, but he's 3 over on his second round so far, but still good enough to log a top 10 through the first 2 rounds of the tournament. And then in a tie for 9th, this is where things get really dicey. Will Gordon, Jason Day, Victor Hovland, Denny McCarthy, Taylor Pendrith, Brendan Todd, and David Lingmuth. That is your tied for 9th right now. So there's your top 15. And Chad Ramey, among the top 15, is the only one that still has outstanding holes to play right now. But we talked about it. You look at the leaderboard. Nothing too exciting there. I mean, you got your Scottie Scheffler, you got your Colin Morikawa, little Jason Day and Victor Hovland as well. But for an event that's supposed to be one of the biggest stops along the PGA Tour, little underwhelming at the field that you've got at the top right now.
Absolutely. Right at the moment, it certainly is. Now, does this give more credence as to why the PGA Tour is coming up with designated events? I think this is exactly the type of scenario that the sponsors, the TV folks, the ratings, you know, and the number of viewers that you're going to acquire are all fearful of happening. And it's happening right before our eyes after what a wonderful event they had at Bay Hill, which was a designated event. So it depends on which side of the fence you're on. All week I heard about guys that are, you know, 70 and below in terms of, you know, FedEx points, world ranking status and the whatnot, complaining about the fact that, you know, is this really good for us? You know, the people that are inside that top 70 have all the reason in the world to love that scenario. But this is the exact reason when most of the players you've never even heard of are going to start appearing on the leaderboard. But at the other hand, though, this tour is starting to go younger. And as a result, we could be seeing the next Colin Morikawas and Scottie Schefflers appearing right before our eyes, and we just don't know it.
Yeah, and we saw it last year, how everything sort of shook out, especially within the confines of the major season as well. You saw guys like Will Zalatoris and Scottie Scheffler and Matt Fitzpatrick, all these younger guys sort of emerge, and I think it ended up being good for the tour for creating some of these stars. And some of these guys really went into the spotlight after that. When you look at what's happened with Scottie, even though Will Zalatoris didn't win a major, he was right there on the final day. Very well could have won the U.S. Open in those final holes going up against Will Zalatoris there. There were opportunities for Will Zalatoris to shine. And he's doing all this while logging top threes, top fives. Like, that's pretty good stuff, I think, for where the state of golf is, at least with younger people right now. And that's where you want to be drawing from as well because of the COVID golf boom. I mean, we saw it at the Chicago Golf Show a few weeks ago. You saw people of all ages there, and that was the beauty of it. And I think that now that you've got this younger audience that's captivated by golf, it's going to be a good thing to have some of these younger stars who they may identify with.
No doubt. And Will Zalatoris is a perfect example of a guy who, you know, made a splash, although he never could get across the finish line to actually win. But he's going to be probably the guy that we are most pulling for to finally crack through and earn that big victory because, A, he's good enough, and, B, he's just a guy that's easy to like, right? And so with that being said, you know, we had no idea who Will Zalatoris was about a year ago.
Right.
He was just a kid out of Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. And now he is somebody that's been there learning how to mature in a way to take that first major championship. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he were to win either the PGA or the U.S. Open this year, for sure.
Absolutely.
Just because the guy has been battle-tested and he's got some scars and some experience to bring along the way that he didn't have a year or so ago. So, again, we're appealing to that younger generation, to your point, that we saw at the Chicago Golf Show. But this is the future of the game. Our fans and where the growth of the game is going to come from is going to come from the 25 to 45-year-old person right now. And how do we best reach him? Well, let's have some stars you know, come up through the ranks as they grow up with them.
Absolutely. 312-332-3776. You want to talk a little bit of the Players' Championship with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Coming up next, TPC Sawgrass may have an uninvited visitor as well. We'll tell you who that is. And also, in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day in the city, we want to hear what some of your luckiest golf shots are as well. One guy had a lucky break happen his way, and it may be the reason why he makes the cut.
That's exactly
at Sawgrass.
Right.
We'll tell you who that is coming up next. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back.
More golf ahead. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan with you every single Sunday here on ESPN 1000 during the golf season. Talking all things PGA Tour, your local courses, how you're playing as well. Maybe even give you some tips along the way. 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2. You can take us on the go as well with the ESPN Chicago app. And, of course, you can watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. So we've been talking some Players' Championship. The big news, though, is that Jon Rahm withdrew from the Players due to an illness. So no world number one as a part of this event for the rest of the tournament. And round two, slowly but surely, closing out here after it was suspended due to weather on the second day of the tournament. So they're closing that out, and then they will officially head into moving day here down in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. So looking forward to all the golf action this weekend and crowning that fifth major of the season. But we were talking a little bit about what's been going on, and someone who actually won this tournament a year ago. And it's funny because he is not invited to this year's Players because he had made the leap to live golf, and that is Cam Smith. Now, Cam doesn't live very far from the course.
No, Cam, he lives right there.
Right around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, you know what? I may show up to this tournament. Have you seen a Cam Smith sighting, an uninvited guest on the grounds of TPC Sawgrass?
Rumor has it he was out there yesterday.
Really?
I can't confirm that, but rumor has it he actually went out there.
Interesting, because you know they're not going to cover it.
Oh,
right?
No. They would never do
PGA
that.
Tour wants nothing to do with Cam Smith, with LIV Golf. They will not feature him on a camera anywhere. No matter how intriguing and compelling this storyline is, we know that the P in PGA stands for petty. And and you look at what has happened over the last, what is it now, 6-7 months with Cam Smith. He goes out, wins the Open. He wins a couple of notable tournaments over the course of his rise through golf stardom as well. And he apparently says he's going to show up and just watch the tournament as a fan. And you can't turn him down, really. I guess he very well could be a paying customer of the PGA Tour.
Sure, why not? And but it is, I read in an article that he mentioned it does sting. I mean, it was interesting to see how NBC and the PGA Tour were promoting the Players' Championship as we came into this week.
Yeah.
And they were highlighting a lot of all their other past champions, because clearly Cam wasn't going to be there, nor was he going to be invited to be there. So that's got to be hard. And I've heard through reliable sources that he's having a tough time finding a good place to play golf down there, because, you know, he used Sawgrass as his place of practice. That was where he did everything. And that's what a lot of the tour guys do. Rocco Mediate, as soon as he turned pro, he moved there because he wanted to play on one of the toughest venues and practice, and really wanted to just be a tour player. And a lot of guys live in that Jacksonville area, especially Ponte Vedra, and Cam Smith is one of them. And right now he's kind of he's out on the outside looking in, literally.
Right. It's I mean, he's the one peeking his head over the fence right now, trying to get a peek at what's going on with the PGA Tour. And I get, like, the way that the event was promoted, but the one thing that I always find compelling with golf is how much pride not just the tournament, but the players themselves have in being the past champion, and how much the tournament celebrates having these guys as their former winners there and welcoming them back to the place where they hoisted a trophy a year ago. And for the players, one of the biggest stops along the PGA Tour, to not have that sort of headliner as a part of their tournament, they cannot promote their past champion, much like what we saw with Phil Mickelson last year. It's got to be annoying for the PGA Tour that they cannot highlight some of the greats in their game that have since left them for LIV Golf. And Cam Smith's just the next sort of iteration of that, and I'm sure we'll see a few more along the way where you cannot be celebrated because of the fact that you have defected. And it sucks for these players, but at the end of the day, it's a choice that they made. And they are being paid millions of dollars in guaranteed money to sort of become the villain of the PGA at this point. You have to live with that decision that you made when you took all that money.
Exactly true. And you bring up a good point about the past champion. You know, in all my years of doing major championships and honoring that past champion every year to help promote the next, you know, reiteration of the PGA Championship, we would have a special day just to honor and commemorate our past champion. So when we were at Wingfoot, we had Mark Brooks and, you know, we had Nicky Price in when it was at Inverness when I was there. And it's a celebratory type of day. And it's interesting, each governing body, whether it's the PGA of America, the USGA, or the PGA Tour, they bring that champion in like they are a part of the family now. There is that, you're one of us in this specific week at this venue. This venue is very special to you. The people that help, you know, produce the event, those that are local, the club officials, they all have a vested interest in their past champion. They are so proud of their past champion, except this year. So I kind of look at it like kind of Harry and Meghan. You know, they were sort of ostracized by the family.
Right.
And that's exactly what is happening to Cam Smith. They will not, you know, state the fact that he's the past champion and honor him in that way. I mean, it will always be recorded in the books with his name there, but they will not, you know, get to use that marketing tool, you know, being able to market your champion. And that tool got taken away as soon as Cam decided to jump over to LIV.
And
that's a tough one for the PGA Tour to swallow.
Right. Not only that, but it's going to be weird at the Open Championship as well. Now, Cam, we have seen from the RNA that they are going to allow the LIV players to play, but it doesn't mean it's not going to be weird and awkward, right?
Oh, exactly. And, you know, the other thing, too, Cam is from Australia, and this would have been an outstanding opportunity to really get the awareness of the Players' Championship all the way over down under. And it just, all of that went away. So in terms of trying to be, you know, not only United States known, but worldwide, the PGA Tour, the brand, and specifically this event, all got lost out by one little decision.
Right. And we got, I shouldn't say we got a taste of it last year. We probably got the full appetite of it last year at the PGA Championship with no Phil Mickelson. And listen, Phil wasn't going to show up to Southern Hills, right? Go out middle of nowhere and show up and put on this whole show. Because Phil was, I mean, that it felt like was the start of his shadow suspension that was going on with Phil Mickelson there from the PGA, even though they insist he was never suspended. But we can probably read the tea leaves there. But this is going to be one of, like, when you talk about for a guy like Cam Smith, who this is home. Like, you're coming to the course that I practice at, the place that I go to golf all the time. It's a little different, and it feels definitely a little more eerie and a little more, I don't want to say sad, because I don't think that's the right word, but it's almost bittersweet that you can't see a past champion celebrated this way. But again, it's a decision that he has to live with, because he made the move to go to a rival tour and we don't celebrate rivals. And that's fine. I get that from the PGA Tour, and I don't mind the way that they've sort of approached this whole week in terms of the promotion of the history of the players.
Yeah, and, you know, with Cam, too, I think it's different with Cam because than with Phil, because Phil had made some remarks, and I think there are some other elements at play, and we still didn't know enough to know what this live thing was going to be about. Mm-hmm. So there was a way, in a way, that Phil basically made himself a bit of a villain. How quickly he went from being everybody's hero to, you know, a pariah of sorts. And Cam Smith is a little bit different. Cam came into this thing just a great player, very likable, party in the front, or yeah, business in the front, party in the back, mm-hmm, kind of a haircut and the whole thing. But in this case, I think he's one of the guys that we're experiencing for the first time that had a certain amount of, I'll call it, innocence. And I often wonder, was Greg Norman, his fellow countryman, did he really have Cam Smith's best interest for Cam, mm-hmm, or for himself? And this is a young, young guy, top on the world, top in the game, would be potentially the fourth guy on that Mount Rushmore,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, he really would be. But I feel like we as golf fans had something taken away from us this
right
week.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. And you talk about like the innocence. Was he innocent or was he just young, right? Like we didn't know. We don't truly know who Cam Smith was. And I think that for golf fans, like, the one thing about LIV is that it was supposed to be a golf event where we see the personality of all these players, right? We see the expression of golf, and it feels like we don't. Maybe it's there, but it feels like it's still hidden from us because, let's be honest, like, take a look at the ratings. Not a lot of people watch LIV Golf, right?
No.
So we don't see the true personality of some of these golfers, even though that's part of the goal of LIV Golf, at least from a marketing standpoint, is to brand these players as these likable figures, these eccentric personalities. And Cam Smith very well may be that. And it looked like if he had continued with the PGA Tour, we certainly would be seeing that out of him. But that's certainly something that I think we may have taken away from us as golf fans. And we'll see what happens if LIV Golf does ever fold and some of these players come begging on their hands and knees, trying to get back on the PGA Tour after that. But it's going to be an interesting watch of what's going to take place over these next couple of years with golf. Bill's in Grays Lake. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, guys, you got me calling in 2 weeks in a row, so I must love
it.
The show.
Thank you,
Bill. You guys are doing great work.
Appreciate it.
I had a question because I'm not certain, but when is some of these LIV guys going to be playing in majors with the PGA guys? Is it the Masters? Is that the next major event where we'll see both of them together?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in fact, when Cam made his decision, I read somewhere where he actually made the decision blindly and without having any knowledge of whether or not he'd be able to come back to the Open or play in the Masters. And, you know, he breathed quite a sigh of, you know, fresh air, if
he'll
you will,
get to defend
or,
yeah, that one
he gets,
trophy.
He gets to defend the one, but the Masters is a big deal to him.
Yeah.
And for us and for Bill, we're going to finally get to see one of the best putters in the world go up against the rest of the players.
Remember,
at Augusta.
That's how he won that Open
Well,
was the dynamite putting that he had down the stretch. And by the way, Bill, appreciate the phone call. Hang on the line. We'll get you a CDGA prize pack. Appreciate you participating with us today on the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. 312-332-3776. If you've got a thought on what's taking place with the PGA Tour's latest stop not having its defending champion, Cam Smith. This segment has been brought to you by Tour Edge. When we come back, one player had a lucky shot. That is the reason he is still going to be playing today. And in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day in the city, we thought we want to hear some of your luckiest shots out there. You've got quite a few, Mike. I know. You do. You've hinted and alluded to some of them to me, so I want to hear your full thoughts there. 312-332-3776 if you want to share yours as well. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back on ESPN 1000.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
The CDGA Golf Show. It's brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. Happy St. Patrick's Day weekend to all who may be celebrating. We've seen quite a few people walk by us here on State Street, all garbed up in St. Patrick's Day gear. I remember last year this time, it was like 1 degree outside.
Oh, yeah.
And you saw, like, I mean, you know this city. They don't care.
They don't.
they're going to go out and they're going to have themselves a good time no matter what the weather is out there. So everyone, we hope everyone has some fun, celebrates safely, responsibly, yes, but also enjoys themselves as well. 312-332-3776. In the spirit of St. Patrick's Day, Mike, we've been talking about some lucky golf shots. And one guy who caught a major break yesterday was Jordan Spieth, who on the ninth hole, par five, had a shot that was headed for the drink. And luckily for Spieth, it ricochets off a fan and bounces back into like the center of the fairway, pretty much. From there, Spieth pulls out a three wood from 275 yards out, lands it a little bit short of the green, and then chips in from 26 feet for an eagle. That right there is the reason why he is playing on Saturday, today. The only reason he made the cut, the only reason he's going to walk away with a check from this event, is because that fan was in the right place at the right time, at least for Spieth. Maybe not for the fan's knee, but for Jordan Spieth, he was in the right place at the right time. And Spieth, he even said, I'm trying to get that guy's information because the reason I'm still here is because of that guy. I mean, you talk about what's probably a 4 or 5 shot swing right there from getting a hazard penalty to all of a sudden turning it into an eagle. Like, you're talking about a major swing there, and the only reason that he's still alive here in the players.
Well, there's an old adage in golf that says, I'd rather be lucky than good.
Correct.
And I can guarantee you, when Spieth hit that tee shot, while it was in mid-flight, he was probably thinking about, I got to rebook my flights. I got to get out of this hotel because I'm going home. For sure now, as that thing was heading to a watery grave. Except, like you'd said, it hit the guy right in the knee, apparently, yeah, and hit hard enough that he got...
Oh, it got a bounce.
Yeah, it got quite a bounce.
So was he it must a knee got, or a tree?
Yeah, like, but it was like probably kneecap, bone, yeah, something femur. But it hit something solid, mm-hmm, because that thing went about 40 yards right smack in the middle of the fairway. And then he was able to capitalize with a capital C. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. It says here in the ESPN.com story, Mark Schlebach writing it, he turned to his caddy, Michael Greller, immediately after he hit the shot and asked him, is that out of play? Because the way that it was kind of slicing over that way, it did not look pretty. Now, we have seen our fair share of lucky shots that have probably won some guys some tournaments. And we saw one a couple weeks ago at the Genesis with Jon Rahm taking one off the grandstand.
That's right.
And rolling it right up next to the hole, and he walks away. I can't remember if it was a birdie or an eagle on that.
Eagle.
It was an eagle, but for a tournament that was that close between him and Max Homa, that was the difference in the tournament. Last year, you go to the U.S. Open, Matthew Fitzpatrick. I sent you the picture that my buddy sent me. He was right near the site of a guy took one off the back, off of his back. And my buddy sent me a picture of the welt on this guy's back. I think I sent it to you as well.
That's exactly. You did.
And that saved Matt Fitzpatrick from going out of bounds or going into some really thick stuff there. And he ends up planting it on the green the very next shot and saving his chance and captured himself his first major as well at Brookline. So all of these lucky shots that take place, we want to hear what your luckiest shots have been in your life as well. I know you've got a couple that come to mind, Mike, but give us one of your best right here.
Well, one of them that clearly stands out like none other was the one that I'm playing on a hole on a par four, and I'm playing in an event, and I absolutely wanted to hit it harder and got over the top of it a little bit and hit what I call.
Were you chasing at this point?
Yeah, a little bit. But I was right in the thick of things. And the next thing I know, the ball is heading hard left. And the wind's also helping it go over the fence. And there was a road that paralleled the hole we were playing. And I believe it was a UPS truck that it hit. Because it hit something and it hit something hard and we heard it. And the next thing I know is the guy in my group goes, "You aren't going to believe this. I think your ball's in the fairway." And sure enough, it was. I hit the next shot up there pretty close and made the putt. So I made a birdie one outright. I should have been looking at double or more.
Wow.
So that was one where I always think fondly of the men wearing brown. And
what can brown do
trucks.
For you? They can
That's
get you
exactly
a birdie, right? 312-332-3776. What is your luckiest golf shot in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day being celebrated here in our great city of Chicago? Noah is in Park Ridge. What's up, Noah?
Yeah, my lucky shot, I was playing golf with my family, and I was in a bunker and a splash shot, and I didn't think I was going to make it, but I drained it right into the hole.
You know, anytime you can splash one right out of the bunker, I always consider that a great stroke of luck. And Noah, appreciate the phone call there. We'll hook you up with a CDGA prize pack. We thank you for calling in here on the CDGA Golf Show. 312-332-3776 if you want to chime in with your luckiest shot. The one that I can think of that I had was we used to play this course out by when I was in college in Syracuse, New York. So our golf window, if you think the golf window is limited here, boy, is the golf window limited out in Syracuse, New York, right? Like, they're still draining the snow water off the courses when you get into May. But you could play this course for free. So, college student, right? Like, of course you're going to go play a little free golf. And when it's free, like, hey, if we can only get in 7 holes, if we can only get in 11 holes, like, we're going to do it, right? We're just going to play until the sun goes down, pretty much. So we went out, and there's this one hole. It's a par 3. And I sail the green. And behind the green, though, there is this giant hill. And I land it probably 3/4 of the way up the hill. And it's some really thick stuff up there. There's those thick roots that are protruding through the ground where if you swing a little too hard, you might break a wrist as well. So I'm sitting up there like, what am I going to do here? I'm just trying to, A, find my ball, right? So luck in and of itself that I found my ball in the first place. And then I just pull out a wedge, and I go to hit the shot. I barely make contact with the ball, but because it's a hill, it's going to keep, and it's a pretty steep one too, it's going to keep rolling down that hill. So I barely make contact with the ball, but it's enough where I give it a little push, right? And it's rolling down that hill, rolling, and it's the pin was back. So since I overshot it, it's a little bit closer to the back end of the green. And it keeps rolling, it keeps rolling, it keeps rolling, and boom, it drops in for a birdie.
Oh my God.
And I cannot believe that I had a little bit of a sore wrist the next day just trying to get it out of those weeds right there and those roots. But it somehow found the bottom of the cup there. And that is by far and away the luckiest shot I've ever had, the luckiest birdie I've ever had.
I should say that almost mirrors the guy that I played with in my freshman year, my very first high school golf meet ever against Glenbard North. And the young man on the 8th hole skipped it 3 times across the water, hit the rocks, and it went up, and it actually went in the hole for an ace. And that was the first hole-in-one I ever witnessed, and it was in my very first high school match.
And that is why they do not put pictures on the scorecard, because they of just, shots like that.
They just want a number. If they wanted a story, they'd make those boxes really big.
Exactly. 312-332-3776. Bob and John, we will get to your calls when we come back here. We want to hear your luckiest golf shots in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day. What is your luckiest golf shot? 312-332-3776. This segment was brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort Experience, a Michigan masterpiece. CDGA Golf Show says happy St. Patrick's Day weekend to you. We've been talking all things golf today, a little bit of players. We're going to talk to Teddy Greenstein from PointsBet coming up at 9 o'clock as well. And be sure to be listening a little after 9:15. You will have a chance to win a Masters food prize pack. We talked a little bit about it last week. The Masters will bring the Masters culinary experience to you. We'll tell you how you can win. Get your trivia caps on, too.
Because you're going to need 12 people this feed.
Yes, and it may be a great hit in the office, maybe just a great hit if you're working from home. Might provide you lunch for a couple days, too.
Yeah, and dinner for the family.
Exactly. So be sure to be listening at 9:15. We will be bringing you that and have your trivia handy as well when we do that. 312-332-3776, talking about some of the luckiest golf shots that you have had in your life on this St. Patrick's Day weekend. Mike, you shared a great one that not only you hit, but also one that you witnessed as well. I have one of mine, and we want to hear yours as well. 312-332-3776. Bob is on the road, I-80. What's going on, Bob?
Hi, guys. Enjoying the show.
Appreciate it.
So I was playing in early spring, probably mid-April. This was about 25 years ago or so. And we had a really cold previous week. And I was on a par three, maybe 170 yards. Hit my shot short. The water head froze, so it bounced off the ice, popped onto the green, and put about 3 foot away, and I got a birdie.
Wow. So the old ice bank shot, right?
Yeah. It was something. We were laughing for years about that one.
That is fantastic. That's appreciate
what they call
it, Mike.
They call it like an icy, I think.
Is there a name for it? That's great. Mike, by the way, hang on the line. We'll get you a CDGA prize pack as well. Appreciate your participation in the show. John, Naperville. What's going on, John?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's your luckiest shot here?
So I was lucky enough to play out at Medina, number three, a handful of years ago, and on the 17th hole.
That's lucky in and of itself.
I was just going to say,
yeah.
To be able to play that course, are you kidding me?
So it was 17th hole, so I'm almost done with my misery or whatever, and hit it into the sand trap on my tee shot, and I just totally sculled my second shot out of the sand, and it's flying for the lake or creek or whatever it is that runs through there. Hits the flag itself, drops down about a foot away, and rolls in a hole for a birdie.
All right. There you go.
I didn't want to play 18 after that. I'm like, you know what? I'm done after
Pick
that.
Pick it up and let's go home. Yep. Having, it's been fun.
Having been at Medina, that's a tough shot looking at Lake Kadaija with that where he was in that bunker. I mean, you make three or make two from there. Are you kidding?
Yeah. There's like that green's like a bowling alley wide or whatever. So, yeah, that was. Great way to end the round.
Basically. Love it, John. All right, hang on the line. We'll get your information if you want a CDGA prize pack as well. Appreciate your phone call there. Mike is in Homer Glen. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Fantastic. Good, how are you doing?
So mine was actually in 2021. I actually was playing at Sawgrass in April, and it was the 18th hole. Hmm. Yeah, missed it. First one in the fairway. Second one was top right. I don't know if you've seen the hole, but if you miss it right, it's way downhill. So I was on the hill. Caddy said to land it on the green. Landed on the green, but it rolled off. So the second one I actually mishit, bounced off the car path down the hill, landed on the green, rolled in for bogey.
Oh, yeah, it was the caddy
looked at me and was like, "Did you mean to do that?" I said, "Absolutely not." He goes, "That could be one of the craziest shots I've seen on this course."
Wow, that is awesome.
Off the car path, bounced on the green, rolled right into the hole. If not, it was going back in the water, so it saved a somewhat mediocre day.
I love it. Love it. Thank you for the call, Mike. So, appreciate it. Hang on the line if you want a CDGA prize pack as well. 312-332-3776 if you've got a lucky shot you want to contribute to the conversation. Those are some good ones, right? Just good ones, but some fantastic courses that they've played well. We got a Medina, and then we got a Sawgrass as well. How about that? That's fantastic.
These guys are living a charmed life.
That might be luckier than the actual shots themselves, is to be able to play some of these courses across our great country.
Anytime you can say your sentence starts out with, "When I was playing Medina number three."
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I love the fact, too, it's like I was lucky enough to play Medina, too, right?
That's
like
it.
It is a treat, for sure, to be able to go out and play some of these fantastic courses. I'm intrigued, too, by what Teddy Greenstein, he's a well seasoned golfer out there as well. I'm intrigued to see what his luckiest golf shot is. We'll talk to Teddy in just a little bit. Any other lucky golf shots that you want to contribute that you think are worth sharing from your time?
You know, when I was managing the 1991 Ryder Cup, one of the shots that actually saved the Ryder Cup for the United States was when, on the last hole, last group, Hale Irwin was playing Bernard Langer, as we know, that came down to the final hole, final putt, when Langer missed. But to this day, they can't figure out, how did Hale Irwin's drive not go further into the dunes and whatnot? Well, it hit our manager of broadcasting for the PGA of America. Her name was Kathy Jordan. It hit her right in the back.
Ugh.
And it made a bruise, literally about the size of a baseball. But it caromed off her back and went on the whole side of the cart path. Mm-hmm. And it honestly gave Hale Irwin a very makeable shot to the green, which turned out to be exactly what the United States needed to do to win.
Wow. I just had another one come to mind as well. The 13th hole of our presenting sponsor, Glenview Park Golf Club, and it is a par 4. I drove it. I hit the cart path off to the right, and I'm like, oh, all right, I'm not going to be able to find this one. Little did I know, it hit the cart path, but then kept rolling down the cart path, eventually skips, hits a tree, ricochets back into the fairway, and it ends up being like a 315-yard drive out of it because of all the extra bounces and rolls I got. And it wasn't a tough little chip onto the green there. I think I ended up parring it, but like that right there was a stroke of luck, and it happened at our great presenting sponsor, Glenview Park Golf Club's golf course as well.
And so, last year when I was with Ron Cassidy on that very first hole, mm-hmm. the group behind us, we heard a guy drill the house out of bounds behind the green. He then dropped, and we were all laughing on the second tee. He promptly dropped and then flew the next one in the hole.
Wow. How about that? How about this? Tracy Butler of ABC7, a meteorologist, has chimed in. She tweets the show. Listening to you guys now, my luckiest golf shot was a hole-in-one that she had July 11th, 1995. Ugliest worm burner shot ever. Love it, Tracy.
So amazing, Tracy.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Teddy Greenstein, get the latest sort of props and what's happening on the gambling front as well at the Players, and what is his luckiest golf shot as well. We will hear from Teddy coming up in 2 short minutes here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Resort. This segment, Up North Michigan Golf Without the Drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.